direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So very grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. This week we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first five verses, and just how relevant these verses are for the church in our day, where the Apostle Paul was reacting to a certain problem in Corinth, where they were compromising the message of the gospel in order to be relevant to the contemporary culture. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the world keep silent before Him." At one time, these words used to mean something to people. There used to be a trembling effect when men would come before the face of the Lord in worship. Oh, sure, we have boldness today by which we have this access. Let us come with boldness to the throne of grace. That needs to be qualified today. People, unfortunately, have a little too much boldness. What's happened? The real challenge that we're posed with today is expressed very clearly in a popular advertisement for a new paraphrase Bible. We have all these translations today. And as they advertise new translations, in the advertisement, you find a woman dressed very sophisticated, young, and very successful. And in this advertisement promoting understandable language for the day, it says, "Pastor, if you want to reach me, you better watch your language." And as the advertisement goes, distracted by bills and deadlines, this is the only time she takes to nurture her spiritual life. You can't afford to lose her attention when you reference Bible passages that are too lofty and obscure. This is so descriptive of the mindset of the church today, it would be hard to capture it with any better words. The response, of course, as Michael Horton puts it, is this: "No, this isn't about making things comfortable for you. If you're baptized, then this speech that the Bible uses is your language. You have to make an effort to understand it. If you are too distracted by deadlines and bills to take in any time outside of this 1 hour a week for your faith, then you'll pardon me for not losing the rest of my congregation to the world just for you." Wow, what a statement. Really gets to the heart of the mentality in the church today, doesn't it? We wouldn't just do this anywhere, dumb down the language so much so that you can't even recognize that it's distinctively Christian, but that's exactly what we've done. Try that on the baseball field, by the way. Bring a guy in who's never played the game of baseball, and since it might intimidate him, since it might threaten him, don't use any of the baseball language. Don't throw him a curveball. Just, you know, don't even give him a bat. Let him play according to his own rules. Doesn't take long to figure out that pretty soon you're not playing the game of baseball. Same is true with the church. You remove its language, it's no longer distinctively Christian. Last, I want you to think about what we've been challenged with over the past months, about a certain model of ministry that is happening all around us in our communities. It's the user-friendly model, the reinventing model, the extreme makeover model, driven in part by years ago by Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, who made the assumption that the traditional church is seeker-hostile. So what has been proposed in America since the late 80s, 90s, and in our time, our decade, is a complete restructuring and implementation of a gospel service where seekers can feel comfortable. Anything that feels churchy, anything including the architecture that makes someone who they have designated an unchurched Harry and an unchurched Mary, these things have to be removed for the people to connect. Ironically, as the statistics go, this approach really hasn't reached the unreached. The average candidate today for the megachurch and the churches that have adopted the seeker model of worship is ironically a lapsed churchgoer, or a churchgoer who has become disgruntled with the established church, or a churchgoer that's used to jumping around to the newest, fatty, edgy thing on the corner. Oh, really, what has happened is an approach to church which has become more touristy than anything else. People simply can find a church that is tailored to their interests, designed for their pleasure, and sadly never calls them to commit to anything else, anything other, as Michael Horton has said, other than themselves. It's easy. It just leaves you complacent. The pastor doesn't press you. It's good for the children. Everyone's happy. Result? In an effort to reach the lost, we have lost the reached. Get that, dear listener. In an effort to reach the lost, we have lost the reached. What is the reason for the mess we are in? Two reasons why the worship of God has run amok and defected from what God originally designed it to be. First, because the worship of God today has been redesigned and reformatted as if the service is to be geared as if it's in the New York Square. It's aimed only for the lost instead of the baptized covenant community. What happens in this scenario? Nothing is focused to grow already Christians. It's just too watered down. Second, we have assumed today that the matters of style are neutral. And that just poses a few different questions for us. Are we given the freedom to have different ladders of methods in order to win the lost? The overarching question being this: what method has God chosen and promised to bless? Well, this week on Abounding Grace, I'm going to contend from the scriptures that God has already made the message relevant, that God has already told us and accommodated to us what the message is, even its method, that we aren't left to make a program. Everything today is a production. I sit in coffee shops and I overhear pastors talking about the worship band and how they're going to place things and what they're going to do next and the next show. It's just a big production. It's just a big show. And sadly, these pastors and churchgoers are completely disregarding what God has clearly said should be their, quote, program, end of quote. Therefore, departure from this is really a shaking of our fist at God with a faithless heart saying, "O Lord, your ways don't work. We will not have you rule over us. We would rather use the world's wisdom rather than yours." This is a very serious thing to consider in our day, dear listener. What are our motivations for church going? Why do we go? So many ideas, so many new ways of spirituality, so many new methods, coffee shop churches popping up everywhere, everyone doing their own thing in their search, in their own little personal version of trying to build the church with their means. Let me begin by setting a stage a little bit further today, and we'll come back to this tomorrow. A few years back, Lee Strobel wrote a fascinating piece in Leadership Journal, and he said this: for believers, good preaching, now notice that distinction, for believers, good preaching begins in the Bible and builds a bridge to the real world, which he said, I think is true for the believer because they trust the Bible. Often for seekers, however, he says, I find the reverse works. I begin in the real world, connecting with their needs and show them that I understand where they've been and where they are. Based on that, he says, I show the relevance of Scripture. I build a bridge from the real world into the world of Scripture. Now, I want to interact with that just for a minute. This is very, very important to consider today. It sounds and has a sound of wisdom, but it's huge in our approach to God and what we do in the church. Michael Horton observes, but that is the real question, isn't it? Do we even know what the world is apart from its divine description? Hasn't God already built that bridge from the Word to His hearers by sending us preachers who announce His judgment and His pardon? Do you see what we're wrestling with? I would add, he just says, often for seekers, however, I find the reversed works. This is Lee Strobel. And he begins to build from the real world back to the Scripture, assuming that there are actual seekers. The thing I have to ask and thing I wonder is, has Lee Strobel and others ever read the verse, no one seeks after God? I don't know what we do with verses like this, which clearly teach us that the only true seeking happens when the Lord opens up a heart through the means that He has already given. And as Horton correctly says, it's through the preaching of the gospel as the Lord sends us preachers who announce judgment and pardon. What we're wrestling with today in the name of relevance is that we've moved away from the Bible as the starting point, and we've tried today to start with the contemporary culture. This is what I want to interact with this week. We're assuming that we have to first engage the culture where it is, not as God has already defined where it is in the Word. God has already made His message relevant to the culture. His Word is culturized, if you will. It's contextualized. His words speak right to sinners where they are. But when we leave that starting point and begin to think about methods and ways of making the Bible relevant, the first thing that will occur is an implementation of something that is not designed or commissioned by God. And really, if the message that God has ordained and the methods that He chose to use are being made something other than what He has said they should be, are we really helping souls right where they are? The answer to that is clear. We have all constructed today our little golden calves, everyone trying to do what is right in his own eyes to build Christ's kingdom and church. And worst of all, we as a church then have lost confidence and thrown out the means He has chosen to bless. Just what has God made relevant? That's the big catchword today. What is relevant? And that's the question we come to in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. In other words, I didn't use all the world's wisdom and gimmicks and shows. What did Paul say? I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. I came in weakness, fear, and trembling that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to know today what God has chosen, what power He has chosen, that genuine transformation would occur and not fatty stuff that catches us up in the moment. May we earnestly listen to what God has set out for us in the Word and eagerly seek to honor what His revealed will is in the preaching of the cross to save sinners from death. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church of Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.